Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks. This is Carl. We're going to do our weekly show. And it's a Bible study with Carl on Freedomizer Radio. It's not my Bible study. It's our Bible study. Believe me, even though I do prepare, and I am just finished 97 parts. I went through the entire Gospel of John, all 21 chapters, I believe it is. And I broke it down, breaking down every verse, talking about every verse in the Gospel of John, all 21 chapters. I think it was 97 different videos that I did on YouTube. Just finished. My point is not to advertise my YouTube videos. My point is every time we go over anything in Scripture, anything, I get something a little bit more, a little bit different, another viewpoint I haven't seen. That's where I've said before, when we do our Bible study, we pray for the Holy Spirit, I do, to give me the words to say to you in these studies. And I then ask the Holy Spirit to do what I'm not even capable of doing for myself. And that is to give each one on this program, each one listening to this, to these words, no matter how many times you've read the Gospel of John or any other part of the Scripture, from Revelation all the way back to Genesis, the Holy Spirit will give you what you need for that day at that time, and maybe for a direct problem you're going through, which incidentally has happened to me quite a bit in the last 6.5 to 7 months. Before we start, if you join me in just thinking about the prayer, I'm going to ask you, Holy Spirit, every word in the Scripture you inspired, every word. And I am going to ask you to give me the words to say to explain the verses. And I understand that although I may impart some spiritual knowledge, the very best that I can do is to give the intellectual knowledge. And we are depending on you, and I'm asking for everybody in this group who is listening or might be coming to listen, that you give us exactly, individually, what we need according to our walk with Jesus Christ right now, today, based on our past history, our weaknesses, our strength. You show us what the spiritual meaning you want each one of us to have. And I am totally aware, Holy Spirit, that I can't even do this for myself, and I do not pretend to do it for other people. And I ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. I'm going to give you a phone number. If you want to call in, you can do it. Call in, and you might have a question, or you might want to make a comment. I just ask you that, again, you would follow two rules for me on this, and that is that, number one, keep the questions or the comments to the context of the Scripture which we're reading today, which is going to be the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter. We're going to start on approximately the 22nd verse. In fact, I may start earlier than that. And just to bring you up to speed on what we're talking about, probably start around the 20th verse. And then the second thing, and I hate to say this, but I found out that I'm not the Lone Ranger here. If anybody's old enough to remember that program, any inappropriate or vulgarity that comes in on a phone call, which I've had on the radio, on live, on Freedomizer Radio, I will delete the call. I will take your number, and the next time you call, you better use another cell phone number or landline, because I will delete it. It's a shame you have to say that, but someone else has shared with me that similar thing happens to them. So I guess I feel good not being a Lone Ranger. And the phone number to call here, incidentally, is 319-527-6208. 319-527-6208. And that is a toll-free call, whether you're on a landline or a cell phone in continental United States. Okay, we're going to go ahead, and I'm going to just recap where John 15:20 is talking about. And this is the where we left off a couple of weeks ago talking about, because last week I was out of town, and I was not able to do this. And we left off with John 15:21. We read through that. And this is Jesus talking about, he is the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. And then he says that in verse 2, every branch that bears not fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges, so it may bring forth more fruit. And then John 15:5, he says, the key to biblical Christianity. This to me is the key to Christianity as opposed to all religion. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same shall bear much fruit. Here's the difference, folks. Get this in your head indelibly. Without me, you can do nothing. That doesn't mean that there's exceptions. I don't care if a person owns a Bible college and 14 seminaries. There is nothing that we can do for the kingdom of God, nothing, without Jesus Christ. That is the difference between religion and biblical Christianity. And unfortunately, much of what was supposedly called Christianity and Christian churches is turning in to another set of rules and regulations where we now are trying to intersperse man's wisdom, man's guidance, man's rules, man's list of to-dos and not to-dos, rather than depending totally on the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm not going to be implicit about it. I'm being explicit. So then here Jesus continues in John 15, if a man abide not, be as cast forth as a branch and withers. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. I don't think you need a advanced degree from a university on the symbolism there. If you do not abide in him, you're cast forth as a branch, and you wither. And men gather them, and they cast them into the fire. I won't even insult your intelligence by giving what that's referring to. But here's the key. Remember in verse 5, we said, I am the vine. This is Jesus talking. You are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him shall bring forth much fruit. Okay, the key is that if he's the vine and you're the branches, and a branch, as you well know, cannot survive if it's cut off from the vine. Take a saw and take a little branch on a tree that's in your property or whatever, and you do this when part of the branch dies, we take it, we prune the tree, we take a little saw or whatever, we cut the branch off. Obviously, the branch will wither and die. The branch has to wither and die because it's not connected to the vine. And in 5, he says again, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him shall bear much fruit. Again, if you cut off any branch from the vine, it will not bear fruit and it will die. So the key is, how do you abide in them? And then verse 6 again, we said, he that a man does not abide in me, he's cast forth. Well, then the key is, how do I abide in him? Are you on?
Hello, Carl. I'm here.
Hello there. Okay.
Hi.
I'm in John 15, but I'm going to start at 22, but I'm just summarizing. It's been 2 weeks since I've been on this. I'm summarizing what John 15 is about. Okay.
All right.
So the key here, and this is a key verse, folks, and this is where I say and I'm not implying, I'm not being coy about it. I'm explicitly and a flat-out statement. This is where the churches today have dropped the ball. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, that is not what is happening today in many churches, folks. I'm not saying you or your church or your pastor. I'm saying that is what is happening. We have left the word of God, and that is the cause of the problems morally, which are we are in such a free fall spiritually in this country that it's unbelievably disgusting. The school board, and it's a very, 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 very good reputation school system in the little town that I live in or the place I live. And we are currently, and it's public knowledge, everybody's talking about it. The school board is currently holding meetings to discuss whether they're going to incorporate restrooms in the schools that boys and girls can interchangeably go in. They're in the middle of doing setting that up to start right now. This is unbelievable, folks. So anybody who says that the country is not in a moral free fall, you either don't, you're under or living under a rock, or you're so politically inclined that you do not want to refuse it. And I'm not saying that any other past president was the solution. The solution to all of the problems in any nation, per Second Chronicles 7:14, is the church's fault. All of the problems morally of the nation go right back and read Second Chronicles 7:14. It is the church's fault. And the churches today in this country, folks, are not doing what the chapter 15 of John says in verse 7. They're not abiding in him. And how do you abide in him? If his word abides in you, and the churches are getting away from it, they're getting away from it, they're getting away from it. I've been accused before of being, of implying. I've been accused of in a Bible study before of, are you accusing? Are you trying to say? No, I'm not trying to say. I'm saying it directly as well as I can for 80 years old. The churches have left the word of God, and that is a general statement, and that is per Second Chronicles 7:14, the cause of the downfall of the United States morally that we have been in this free fall. Okay, I'm just reviewing John 15. Yeah.
Can I just say, I'd like to say, for anybody
who... Raven, hold on. Yeah. I've got you on to add your thoughts. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So I'd just like to say, for anyone who has any doubt whatsoever, I know Carl. He is in small town USA. Very small town, very conservative little area. So for him, I didn't know this. No, I hadn't heard this from you yet, that this was happening in your town.
Oh, yeah.
So for
I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you, it's the Anthony Wayne School District.
Yeah, so for me to hear that this is happening in your town, you know, in the Anthony Wayne, this blows me away. Yeah, I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised. I know this is coming everywhere.
Hold on, let me give you a little clue. And I don't know if you were there at the time, but I believe you were. Eric Whitmore, before he, maybe a year before he let his church, where his church shut down, he gave
a
talk.
He
was a bus driver for the, you remember that? He was a bus driver for the Anthony Wayne School District.
I don't remember him
and
saying that,
said,
but I'm...
He went to a lecture by the school bus people that served the entire Anthony Wayne district, and which included the grade school, the high school, and the middle school. And he said that they were preparing them, the bus drivers, that this is coming. It's going to be gender-free restrooms. It's going to be gender-free. This was more than 4 years ago.
I must have been. I must not have been there.
You may not have been there.
Boy,
You may not have been there, but it, he gave a big talk about it. He was the bus driver for the district. But we're here now. Mm. It's not something that's coming that we can close our eyes to and say, well, he's just the Bible thumper. It's here. And the parents in the town I live in are getting livid. But, folks, that's not my point. I think highly of the school district. The people in the school district are fantastic. That's part of the draw of living here. I'm just lucky that I ended up here. But I'm telling you, folks, the church has not abided in Jesus Christ because they are not abiding in his words and his words abiding in them. And what does that mean?
Yeah.
That means that the churches are going to denomination. They're going to agendas. Yeah. They're going to the agendas the denomination has demanded rather than what's biblical. Let me give you the number one thing, and I might as well not hold it back. The number one agenda that I see that is going to cause numerous people to end up in Matthew 7:23, where they say, but I taught in your synagogue, I healed people, and I cast out demons. And Jesus says, depart from me. I never knew you. This is going to happen, folks, with the Mickey Mouse, Mary Poppins, gutless preaching that is going on in churches today where we are telling people, all you got to do is repeat a prayer after me. You show me anything in the Bible that is evangelical, soul-winning, that does not stress the fact that we are sinners and need to repent. And yet I hear continuously, repeat this prayer. Is that sinner's prayer? Am I knocking that? No, I'm not. If a person has been brought to the fact that they are aware that they are sinners, but you very rarely ever hear that preached first, just join the club. Join the Harper Valley PTA. Let me give you another one, folks. Well, I might as well let it all out. The fact that the church I go to, it is a Southern Baptist church. The minister, a very, very, very integrity-filled, strictly Bible authority pastor, Pastor Rands, twice a month he will stress to this Southern Baptist church, your water baptism does not save you. Why do you think he does that? Because the agenda of the denomination still is preaching and teaching and believing that water itself is necessary for salvation. We have got to get this country back in order. It's not going to get back on order by your vote, even though I haven't missed a vote since 1964 when I was legally able to vote. That is not what I'm depending on. I'm depending on the nation turning back to God, and it looks like the churches are turning away from God. They are not going to the scripture. In the last, just this calendar year, and I say this on video all the time, I'll try to remember the people. I've listened to people such as Dr. David Jeremiah, Greg Laurie, who is the gentleman that a movie is out currently about, Dr. Jack Graham, and I believe he's a graduate out of Dallas Theological Seminary. Alistair Begg, who is a very well-known, especially in my part of the country. He has a church in Cleveland, but he's on worldwide radio daily. And Jimmy Swaggart has said this for years. The churches are leaving the authority of the Word of God. And that's what it means if you abide in me and my words abide in you. It doesn't mean that you have memorized two chapters or two books of the Bible. It doesn't mean that you are a whiz-bang in Bible contests or Bible memorization. It means that the Word of God is your only authority, not your denomination, not your church, not your pastor, certainly not a dummy like me, but it is only in the Word of God. And folks, we got to wake up. This is the solution. I will vote this next election. I vote in the midterms. I do not miss a chance to vote, but the candidate is not my problem. Raven, read 2 Chronicles 7:14. Let's bring it right out here. This is where we got to draw a line in the sand, and we got to determine, folks, what side are you going to be on? Because when you go into eternity, you're going to be on one side or the other. The difference is, once you get into eternity, there's no turning back.
Yes, if my
I want her to give you the folks why I say the failure of a nation morally is the church's fault, is the inception of it. Go ahead.
Yes. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land.
What did
if my people, not the secular people, not the world, my people.
Amen. Yep. Yep.
He's talking to us. He's talking to the
church.
You
got it, Raven. That's what I'm saying. And I'm not going to miss an election. Since 1964,
right,
when Barry Goldwater ran against Lyndon Johnson, I was legally able to vote, and I haven't missed a vote since. But that is not what my confidence is in. My confidence is that the Christian church would do what 2 Chronicles saying, like she just said, if my people, this is Jesus Christ, God speaking, if just my people, he reiterates it, so you get the message, if just my people would, what, repent, seek my face, turn from their sins, I will hear from heaven and heal their nation. Again, folks,
yeah,
we've got to make a decision if we're really sincere about this country's welfare. If we're really sincere,
yep.
I listen to and I hear all the time that this 2024 election is going to be the deciding election for the future of the country. That may be the truth. That may be true. But let me tell you something. Nothing will replace the lack of morality and turning from the Word of God will save the country, and no president, no human being, no matter how good his intentions or how good of a job he's done or will do, is going to save a nation that has left the scripture, the words of the God that abide in the nation. And the churches have done this, folks. That's what we got to understand. And again, I am not going to miss voting, assuming I'm alive in, what, another 18 months.
Yeah.
But it is not going to be a man that's going to save the nation. And people are rattling their gums. And I'm not sure they're wrong politically. I'm not a political person. I don't watch the news. I don't read newspapers because I'm sick and tired of the nonsense. But I believe that it's important who we elect. But the problem with the United States of America, just the little town. Raven, let me mention this. I think I know I just messaged you about it. Yesterday I was in a meeting with the group I'm in, the Gideons, and one of the man who has been elected the chaplain of the Gideons group that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
He took a visit down to downtown in the city, the big city that we're a suburb of, and he went to a place that's now called the House of Prayer. It happens to be a former abortion clinic. And he made the comment of how it's a house of prayer and how nice it's done inside, and there's no evidence of being a former abortion clinic other than a sign that states it, and it's now turned to a place for prayer to God. But the thing that I'm getting to, just this little place in this little town, a little Midwestern town up near the Great Lakes. This one little place, one little building on a street called Adams Street, not Times Square or Hollywood Boulevard. This place has had, since 1972, recorded 50,000 abortions. And what has
I'm surprised
the
church, it's not more than
what
that.
What have the churches? Well, but yeah, I don't know. That's what they put out. But just this little place, there are estimates out there by CDC in Atlanta that there could be up to 90 million abortions committed legally since Roe versus Wade. And I'm going to make another comment. And I said it to a pastor the first day I ever met him, and he agreed. The churches have done nothing to stop it. Do they protest? Do they have meetings? Do they rant and rave in the church? But they haven't done anything to stop it. Well, what can we do? I would like to ask Rosa Parks someday, the lady in Detroit who reformed a whole nation because she would not be abused and go to the back of the bus because of her skin color. We don't think we can do anything, or it's not that important to us. We have sat by in the churches and allowed this country without putting the political pressure. And I'm going to tell you something. The political pressure, if exerted continuously without fail, will change the politics and the legislation in the nation. Look at what Rosa Parks did, and I admire her. I'm not being critical. Don't say we can't do anything. We just haven't cared. And when I use the pronoun we, and you don't have to be very high in English to understand this, it doesn't mean just you I'm blaming. We includes the great wonder Carl, me, myself, and I. I sat around and justified it in my mind. What could I do? I realized the gravity of the error. And I'm going to have to account to God one day. Is the blood of Christ covering the sin? Yes, it does if you've repented. The point is, folks, we have sat around in this country, in a church, and allowed this to happen for 51 years now, 51 years. And we're continuing it to allow it to happen. And the churches have still not risen up in this with the pressure that minority groups have accomplished things since the 50s, since I've been aware of, because we really don't give a darn. And I'm telling you, if you hate me, love me, chances are no one loves me, but if it's a variation of hate because of what I'm saying, look at the morality of the nation. Do you want your children and grandchildren growing up like this, where they're teaching that it is okay to have two men or two women as parents? It's okay. The Methodist denomination as a whole last year has dictated that the churches, their mainline churches, will submit to the rule that they will have gay and lesbian ministers and they will perform gay and lesbian marriages. This is the Methodist denomination. And I think I've read this year that 200 churches have seceded from the mainline Methodist denomination. And the Methodists are the basic branch or group that includes the Nazarene Church. And I'm not saying the Nazarenes have done this. And the Wesleyan denomination, they are basically of the Methodist theology. Folks, we have got a problem in this country. Are we going to make up our minds today, or are we going to kick the can down the road? Are you going to, as John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can't read the Bible. You can't have read the Bible 30 seconds and not understand the gay and lesbian marriages and gay and lesbian ministers is not wrong. You can't. You can't do it. It's impossible.
Yeah.
When is the church going to start? As a church, we're going to turn back to Scripture. I am saying if we don't do it, you can elect anybody in the world, and it's not going to make any difference because God has promised the only way he will heal a nation, and this is morally, is if we do what? If just his people. And Raven, you accentuated that. He's saying his people. That's Christians, in case you think Raven was maybe being a little bit, I don't know the word, not, you know, ducking the topic. I'll hit the topic. He's talking about Christians. We've got to get this nonsense rooted out of the churches. We've got to stop supporting these people in the churches. We've got to get politically active, but I don't mean walk up and down the street downtown with a sign. I mean put the pressure on these people that the minority groups, including Rosa Parks, that I give tremendous credit to. In fact, up in the Dearborn, Michigan, believe it or not, the very bus that she was on, and it's an old-timer, man. I could, being raised in the 40s, I could tell it was a 1940s or 50 bus. But it's actually, that bus is there. And there's a lady who's stuck by her conviction. And look what the spark she ignited. Why doesn't the church stand up against abortion and say no? I'm not going to answer it. It's a rhetorical question. It's obvious. Because we really have the churches have no longer abided in Christ, as John 15:7, because the words, his words do not abide in the churches, John 15:7. Okay, having said all that, let's keep going. Any comments, Raven, you want to make?
No, I think I do have a comment. I actually just sent you a message to tell you this, but I'm going to say it right now. Carl, I don't know who put a match to the seat of your pants today, but you're on fire. I'm enjoying just listening to you. Hallelujah. I couldn't said it any better myself. I agree with you 1,000%. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
You do. IDK, who put a match to the seat of your pants today. You said it pretty well.
IDK means I don't know. And he says,
exactly.
You know, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, he says twice, he says, if my people who are called by my name, he makes it very clear. This is the church. The church, the church,
it's
the church.
No ambiguity.
Yeah.
No ambiguity.
Yes. Yeah.
We're kicking the can down the road, folks. You're paying for it right now. If you don't think that you have kids and grandkids in the lower grades, the first through the eighth,
yes,
that have been, they, if you don't think they've been exposed to this alternate lifestyle and this idea of restrooms, you use whatever you want. Well, here, I'll tell you where it's very heavy around our area, and it's getting worse. Is that going into the locker rooms. Men are now going to be able to join competitive sports with women, and that's creating a mess. Folks, this stuff, children and grandchildren, what's that?
I just saw that, Carl. I don't read the news much either, but I just saw a couple articles this weekend where there's And I don't know when it was, but I'm just saying it came across, you know, my news this weekend that there's a boy who claims that he's a girl. Now, he's dressed like a boy. He's not dressed any different, but it doesn't matter. But he's in high school or junior high, beat up some girl because the girls didn't want him in the boys' locker or in the girls' locker room. And so he beat this girl up because she was not going to let him come past her to come into the girls' locker room. And, I mean, when I say beat her up, I mean he had her down on the ground and was wailing on her. She's a girl. She's a girl, and he's this
big guy. Was this in our area?
No, this was in California. But still,
okay.
I mean, this is going on. And then just this last week, there was, and I can't tell you exactly where it was. I don't have the article in front of me. But there was, just this last week, there was some sort of a professional a situation. It's a women's sporting event. I want to say it was a track and field type of event, I believe, where the girls protested.
Yeah, Raven, that's where it's starting, and the girls are rightfully in this area. They're getting upset. They're saying that's unfair because you know where it's going to go to the Olympics.
Yeah, I think, oh, no, wait, it was not a track and field, it was a cycling thing, some sort of a bicycling thing. Anyway, but the girls all said, nope, we're not competing against him. He's a boy, he's not a girl or a man, not a woman, whatever it was, and they said, we're all dropping out, and they all walked away and refused to compete against him. This is what needs to happen. This is what needs to happen across the country. Girls in high schools, girls in grade schools, whatever, they all need to say, no, we are refusing. Parents need to say, our girls are not going to do this. They need to pull their kids out of school and homeschool them if it's happening in their school. They need to the high schools, the colleges, everybody needs to protest and say, we are not going to allow this. The churches need to step up and tell their parishioners, or however they put it, but they need to tell their congregants, do not allow your children. You do not allow this. It's starting to happen in, I've seen a few videos that it's happening in a few restrooms. In some of the like department stores or what have you, that people are actually stepping up to some of these people that are trying to walk into restrooms and saying, no, you are not allowed in here. You're not coming in here. I have daughters coming in here, and this is not happening. And this is what we need to do. It needs to be spoken about in the churches because we need to be the ones. We don't understand that the secular world actually does look at us and expect us to set a model. They expect us to set an example. And when we don't, what they say is, well, the church doesn't do it. Why should we? The Christians don't. And I'll tell you something.
And you know what, Ray? You want to know something?
What's that?
I agree with them in that one point. The churches are not doing it. We have also
I have two children who are not saved.
We have turned
I have two children who are not saved,
abortion.
And they say we're hypocrites.
That's
my
right.
Children who are not saved say we're hypocrites.
Well, Raven,
the church doesn't do it.
Raven,
Why should we?
Look at abortions. Hold on. Look at abortion. Yeah. Don't come at me with any of these justifications about abortion. It's murder. It's a human life.
Yeah.
If it's not a life, then why in the name of you know what? Am I possible to a $5,000 fine in jail time if I destroy the egg of an eagle? It is a life.
Yeah.
The churches have done nothing to prevent it. Have they made noise?
Yep.
Have they held meetings? Have they carried signs downtown, which is meaningless?
Yep.
We are not. Yep. Getting into where, and folks, there are minorities run this country. I'm not saying they're all wrong. Some of the things like Rosa Parks were right.
Yeah.
Discrimination that we've had in this country in 1957 that exploded under Governor Faubus of Arkansas, where this whole thing started to change, was horrible. It was sinful. The persecution that the black, the African-American people, it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They were looked at by many people as not even human beings. That is sin.
Yeah.
The point is, the church does not want to get involved in stopping abortion. Now, what are we going to do? It's 51 years later. So we willingly sat and did nothing. I'm telling you. The root cause is because we have not abided in Jesus Christ, John 15:7, because the churches have not abided in his words. You read the Bible. Don't listen to me. I'm no different than anybody else. I get on a soapbox and away I go, and I think that I'm the only one right. I'm giving you the scripture, the verses. If you abide in me, this is in red. and my words abide in you, and that's what the church is. And I even mentioned the latest man I heard say it recently was Dr. David Jeremiah, not on this topic, but he said the churches have let the people down. In fact, his exact mentality or phraseology, and I'm trying to paraphrase as close as I can, is that the churches have now gotten to the point where they're willing to adjust the scripture to fit their lifestyle rather than their lifestyle adjust to the scripture.
Yes.
We had better make a decision, because I got to tell you, Raven, I don't know how much longer God is going to put up with us. I'm serious. And I'm folks, I'm 80 years old. My kids are in their 50s. Well, one is 49, the youngest. I've got grandchildren. In fact, I will not be here next week. Raven will be doing the show. I'm going up to 1,000 miles away, Farmington, Maine, which is the University of Maine, where my granddaughter, my second granddaughter, is graduating from the University of Maine. And she got up that far because she's a downhill racer in skiing, and she got a scholarship to go to the University of Maine. But the point of the matter is, I've got grandchildren that are in their 20s, college graduates. My day is come and gone. But I'm telling you, if anyone here has children or grandchildren, like Raven does, you still have children in their 30s. You have grandchildren that are very young. We had better, folks, put the pressure on the churches. Get away from supporting the churches that are not abiding in Christ's words. Because if they're not abiding in his word, they're not abiding in him. And per 2 Chronicles 7:14, that is the cause of the failure morally in this country. But these young ladies, I don't blame these girls, the athletes. They work their tail off. Raven, I'm going to tell you, every day that I'm going out early every morning and I see young guys and young girls from Anthony Wayne School, and these kids at 6:30 in the morning are running. These are track people.
Yeah.
They're running, and we haven't had warm. We've had a couple of days of warm weather. But even like today, it was raw out there, even at 9 o'clock this morning. And these kids are out there, and they are using their discipline, and they're coming out in nasty, rainy, cold, windy April days, and they're working. And yet they're going to be taking this all away from them? This is ridiculous.
Right. Yeah. You're right.
And it's happening right now. I mean, it's not... Back when Eric gave this talk, I thought to myself, like the Carl of old, well, that's coming, you know, just like the end of the world is coming. But you know what? Every day we get up and it's the same thing. No, it's here. And you're going to talk about the lawsuits that are going on when young ladies get violated in restrooms. That's what the panic at our school district is. Some of the parents want it. And the other parents are outraged. It's about time we start at the core cause of the problem, and that is the churches are no longer abiding in Jesus Christ. That is the problem.
Right. Yes.
Okay, I've said enough about that. If you got any more to say, go ahead on this one topic.
No, I am right there with you. You know.
Oh, I know.
I don't talk about this very much, Carl, but I'm going to bring this up because you just mentioned it in your last sentence there. And I'm going to say this because it's a very real threat. It's a very real threat to women, to girls. When I was 16, I was raped, okay, when I was in high school. And the boy was a teenager who I was in school with, all right? Well, I was in a class with him, and I had to see this boy every single day, every single day. And so it got to the point where I would go into the girls' restroom, and I would wait there until class would start. And then I would go into class, and I would sit right next to the door. I mean, I was terrified of this boy, terrified. And then I would race out of class immediately when the bell rang and take off. Well, think about this now. My hiding place, my only place to go was the girls' restroom. Now, I know there are other girls, you know, that are going through this. It still happens, you know. And so, yes. And so, if this were to happen today, where this is going on, there would be no place for me to go and hide. There would be no place for you know, for me to wait. You know, and he could follow me, you know, into the restroom. I mean, you know, and the same goes for any other girl who needs a place. You know, where is she going to go? Where is she going to have a safe place to be away from something like this? I mean, this is terrifying. This is terrifying to think that you could be a girl and be in a restroom stall and have a boy looking over the, you know, standing on a toilet seat and looking over the stall at you or anything like this. This is really horrible. I mean, parents need to think about this and realize their children are in danger. They are in danger. Yes, and grandchildren, right. And grandchildren. We need to protect our children.
Yeah, they are, Raven, because you're at the point where you've got grandchildren that are just like 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. And these kids...
Yeah, my youngest grandchild is 5.
Their whole standards are being formed, and we're going to allow this to happen?
Yes. Yes.
I still don't think that people realize what's going on. I don't think people realize that this is happening right here today. I don't know how else to explain the frustration, but I have to ask myself, okay, Carl, you're such a hot shot. You've done nothing all your life about abortions. Now you're on everybody else. I admit I'm guilty. I'm guilty as can be. There's no question. I'm not trying to put all the blame on anybody else. The point is, folks, somewhere down the line, we've got to get before the face of God. And what did Raven say? If you would humble yourself.
Humble yourself
means take him as your authority. And I think the same thing was seek his face. The churches are not seeking his face. They're not.
Yeah. When
and
do we really get down? Yes.
And stop your
sin.
We
are supposed to pray without ceasing. We're supposed to be praying without ceasing. Do we really understand what that means? An attitude of prayer all the time. And that doesn't mean we're supposed to be sitting here with our eyes closed, you know?
Okay, I like that. I like that, Raven, because it doesn't mean that you drive down Interstate Highway reading your Bible.
It means we are to be in contact with God. Yes.
We're to
be in contact with God all the time. We're to have that close relationship with him always. And if we have that, if we have that Holy Spirit leading us all the time, then we are not going to have that problem with guilt, with Satan constantly going, hey, come this way. Because as soon as that happens, as soon as we hear Satan in our ear, we're going to be like, uh-uh, get away from me. And we're going to go right to God and say, God, you handle this. This is not my fight. This is yours. And I know that. It's that attitude of prayer where we know anytime anything starts to come to our mind that's wrong, we know we immediately go to God. We don't have to get down on our knees and close our eyes. It's that immediate talking to God. It just happens without even thinking about
it. Raven, it's really, where is our heart? It's just like money.
That's right. That's right.
You could have a person worth $3, $4, $5 million and money not be their God. You could have a person basically despondent, bankrupt, and God be their and money be their God. It's an attitude.
Yes.
It's where is your heart? Where is the heart?
That's right.
Where is the heart?
Yes.
And this attitude of prayer is where is the heart? All right.
Yes.
Keep going if you want.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
If
because
you're done,
when
we'll move
on. But when we have that attitude of prayer, it really is, it's really our heart being, I love that you said that, because it's really our heart and our spirit being one with the Holy Spirit, being one with God. When we accepted Christ as our Savior, it's the same thing. See, we notice that, like in Ephesians, God talks about us, you know, becoming one with each other when we get married. It's the same thing. We become married to Christ, right? We are the bride of Christ. So that's the exact same thing. We are to be melded with God. We are to be one with Him. And that gives us that attitude of prayer. We become one with Him. We become one with the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, that's where our heart is. That's what brings our heart to be one with Him. We're supposed to have that same thing when we become married. That's how, you know, if we're both Christians, that's why we're not supposed to be unequally yoked. Because if we're unequally yoked, we cannot have that that oneness, same thing with God. It's impossible.
Okay, when you're saying unequally yoked.
In other words, you
what?
Cannot marry. As a Christian, I can't marry a Muslim. I can't marry a Jew. I can't marry someone who is not a born-again Christian. If I marry someone who is not a born-again believer, if I marry someone who does not put God first, then we are not going to be equally yoked. We're not going to be – here's what equally yoked actually means. If it's talking about two oxen. That's what it's actually talking about. When you have two oxen, or what they do is they put this yoke on them.
Right.
And it's this wooden thing. It's this wooden thing that it attaches them, the two oxen, and it holds them together. They cannot move. They literally cannot move one without the other. They are attached right at the neck. And so what happens if one tries to move forward without the other one is dragged forward with them. They have to go. They have to go one at They have to move as one, and that's what is supposed to happen. And so what happens if we're unequally yoked, if you have an ox and a horse that are yoked together, they're not going to be able to move correctly. You've got this huge ox, and then you have this horse, like maybe it's one of those big Clydesdales, and you've got this ox that's down here that's maybe, 4 feet tall, and then you get this Clydesdale that's like 6 feet tall. You can't yoke them together. That's not going to work. Or if you have an ox and a billy goat, you can't yoke them together. I hope those who are listening are seeing what I'm talking about. Those aren't going to work. They're not going to move together. Two oxen who are the same size, that's what get yoked together properly. You could yoke two Clydesdales together, right? Or two billy goats. But you cannot yoke two different types of animals together. You cannot yoke together a born-again Christian and a Muslim or an unbeliever, because you will never have the same beliefs. You'll never be walking together side by side. It will never work. The same thing will happen if you are trying to walk in a relationship with God and yet walk with the world. The Holy Spirit is going to be pulling you in one direction, and the people that you are trying to walk with in the world are going to be pulling you together in another direction. One of them is going to win.
That was a very good word picture of what unequally yoked means. Very good word picture.
I will tell you, it didn't come from me. That came from God because that just came, you know.
But the agricultural is exactly what the story was based on. It was a very good explanation on equally yoked.
That's what that means, is that yoke, that we're supposed to be
sharing the load.
Yeah.
Sharing the load.
Absolutely.
Believe it or not.
Absolutely.
That even goes into, and I'm not going to get into this deeply, what I spent my 50-something years in, and that it's electric motors, large electric motors and large solid-state drives where they've actually made the drives where motors can literally share the load. And I'm not going to go any further.
Oh, that's
interesting. When you said share the load, that just rang a bell with me because I lived with that for many years. But
that's interesting. I never knew about that.
It can't be done if you're running on 60 cycle current that you actually can get electric motors, let's say on a big conveyor system where they do load sharing. They load share.
Okay.
It's very sophisticated electronics.
Term. Yes.
But when you said load share or sharing the load, I couldn't help it. I lived in that for 55 years. Okay.
Very interesting.
Let's jump down. And for those people who are closing their eyes to Matthew 24, which clearly states that we have always been in tribulation, it is going to continue, and there's going to be a 3.5-year great tribulation period, and those who say we're not going to go through tribulation and totally ignore Matthew 24 because their denomination has said that we're not going through tribulation. First Thessalonians 5:9 and Romans 5:9 say unequivocally, again, you don't need hermeneutics to interpret this, or the thesaurus, or a concordance. Both 1 Thessalonians 5:9 and Romans 5:9 say, unequivocally, we will not go through the wrath of God. It never says a word, the Bible, about we're not going through tribulation. Open your eyes. Cain and Abel. The first two naturally born children of Adam and Eve. Abel offered the lamb without spot or blemish, pointing towards faith in Christ and no effort of his own as a sin covering. Cain worked hard, planted, sweat, worked as hard as he could, and brought to God his fruits and vegetables. He was rejected by God because faith was not his offering. And what did Cain do to get rid of the man of faith? The same thing religion has done since Adam and Eve. Religion will kill the person of faith. So having said all that, we start with chapter 15 of John and read 18 through 21.
All right. Chapter 15, starting in verse 18.
Yep.
Is that what you said? Okay. Verse 18. Yep. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word.
Raven, you've heard
in
sermons, in Bible studies.
Yes.
Thanks be to God.
Yes.
We're going to be floating on the clouds of glory. We're not going to be here with persecution. Folks, we've been in persecution since time began.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yep. they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. That's
the big
thing.
We are going to go through persecution. And Raven, on Wednesday, I believe you're still going through Matthew 24. Is that not correct?
That's right. We've just started it. And I only made it to verse 8, I think.
Yeah, and I'm not here publicizing that. I don't care what people do with their time. It's none of my business. But there is something, folks, that much of the church today has absorbed, that we are, thanks be to God, we're going to be raptured before the tribulation period. That is fake news if I've ever heard it. We are promised one thing. We're not going to be here for the wrath of God. Persecution and tribulation is unbelievers persecuting believers. The wrath of God is going to wipe out everybody on the final day of judgment. We're not going to be here for that. That's when, before that is when we'll be raptured. And Matthew 24 clearly states it. You don't have to have a degree in hermeneutics. You don't have to have 15 different translations of the Bible in 13 different languages. Just listen to Ravens the Wednesday night. She's reading it. It's explicit.
Yeah.
It's not even something, as a man says to me, who attends our Bible studies, well, Carl, that's your understanding of what you read. This is not Carl's understanding. It states it, that we will go through tribulation. We're going to go through the 3.5-year great tribulation. We're promised that we're not going to be here for the wrath of God. Please read Romans 5:9 and 1 Thessalonians 5:9. But this is another example where the church does not abide in his words. And if you don't accept the denomination's statement on this or the church's statement on that, you are politely asked to leave. And I was asked to leave once because I unknowingly came in to a church with an NIV, not knowing they didn't permit you in there and want you in, excuse me, they didn't want you in there anymore with anything other than the King James Version. Now, it just so happens that I read the King James Version because when I was in Maine 33 years ago, I had not my Bible, and a pastor ordered me one, and he ordered me a King James Version, the Thompson Chain Reference, which was great, and I just got used to it.
Yeah, I like it.
But to tell a person, imagine, in a very popular denomination, please don't come back with that Bible. How can we do this? You see what I say?
Yeah.
We're not abiding in Christ. We've left the words of the words of the Bible. We are taking man as our authority. We're taking church leadership, church denomination, church rules.
Right.
This is insanity.
Absolutely.
I mean, it is. This is as bad as this other thing we're talking about with the bathroom situation. How many people
in
churches today? How many people in churches today are going to heaven in their mind because they've repeated a prayer after someone like Carl? When all the Bible says that if there is no remission of sins, there is no forgiveness. If there's no forgiveness of sins, you are on your way to a very hot place without air conditioning for eternity. And yet we've got people with their bold face hanging out. Just say this prayer, never once mentioning the need for repentance. And people are going up there, and they're getting a high. They're getting a spiritual high. They're getting a good feeling. We clap for them. I'm not saying that's wrong. What I'm saying is wrong is we've left the Word of God in our churches. Then we wonder why we are in the scum of morality as a nation. And it's not Mr. Biden's fault. It's not Mr. Trump's fault. It's not Mr. Obama's fault. It's not Mr. Clinton's fault. It's not Mr. George Bush Sr. and Jr.'s fault. It is the fault of the church in this country that we have left the Word of God.
Absolutely.
All right. We are in verse 21.
All right. Verse 21, but all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do
and
not know him.
Raven. Hold on. Yeah. This is these verses we just read, 18 through 21, tie in perfectly to what you're doing on Wednesday, Matthew 24. Perfectly.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yes. Because they do not know him who sent me.
All right. Now go ahead with 22. This is new.
All right. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also.
And how many religions out there, major religions other than Christianity, that say that they don't have to worship Christ, they worship God? That's not what Jesus is saying, folks. Are you going to put your faith in what man's stupidity comes up with or the Word of God? Here's something Raven said recently I want to get back to. And Raven, I don't care if you take 20 minutes on this one, but you won't. You made a comment to me. Did you make it to me? I think you did. And then you elaborated on it. That unless you make a decision that the Word of God is the Word of God, don't even read the book. Why don't you give a little comment on that?
Yeah, because if you don't believe, I mean, if you don't believe that this is his word, if you don't believe that he wrote this, I mean, obviously he didn't come down here with a pen and write it, but this was spoken, this was given to us. In fact, let me just go back here and get that.
It's 2 Timothy 3:16.
Yep. 2 Timothy 3:16. Yeah, 16 and 17. Right.
And then it's 2 Peter. Remember 2 Peter. We've also got. But go ahead with Timothy first, and then we'll read Peter.
All right. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture comes from God. And then 2 Peter 1:20 and 21.
You don't have to have a PhD degree to understand this.
Yes. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. So, or origin is also that. Interpretation means origin.
In other words, man did not write this. In fact, hold on. Hold on, I'm going to write that word origin because I like that word better.
Yes. That's what this actually means. That word actually means
it didn't come from.
Yep. It actually means it didn't come from
I like that.
Man.
Where did you get that? Yes. Where did that word come from? Because I like that.
It's actually in my Bible as the actual meaning of the word.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. What version do you have in the Bible?
I have the New KJV.
Okay. And I like that. So this is the origin. That's it. Okay. Go ahead with 21.
Yes. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
Now, go back into your prefix that you spent about 40 minutes on the other night before you even got into Matthew 24, and just give us a couple of minutes of what you said.
Yeah.
If you do not believe the Bible is totally the Word of God, don't even read it. Do something else.
Yes. Yeah. There's no reason to, because if you don't believe
no.
what those verses
Amen.
Just said, if you don't believe that, then you don't believe anything in Scripture. You really don't. You just, I mean, if you're going to pick and choose what you believe out of the Bible, if you're going to say, well, I don't believe that God wrote Scripture, that the Holy Spirit, that God inspired Scripture and basically gave the words to man to write. Now, does that mean that the Holy Spirit said, okay, write this down. Remember, let me choose something that's not in red. For if we have been united, no, that's not how it works. But the Holy Spirit gave, and we can't, we're humans, okay? So we can't say, okay, I know exactly how this works. No, we don't know how it works. But the Holy Spirit, we know that the Bible says the Holy Spirit gave them the words to write, okay? Just like in Matthew 24, we are told that God will give us the words to say. I know this is true because on Wednesday nights, I go to speak this stuff. And, Carl, I know that you do the same thing, that when you go to give these teachings, I have no idea what I'm going to teach beforehand. I shouldn't say I have no idea. Let me change that. I know I'm going.
Say, I got to be honest. I know where I'm going with it, yeah.
Right.
But we both pray
right.
for the Holy Spirit to give me – we both pray for the Holy
yes.
Spirit to give us the words.
Yes, that's exactly right. I know where I'm going. I know that I'm going to – but like I said on this past Wednesday night, I don't know how far I'm going to get. It's going to be dependent on the Holy Spirit and where he takes me. That's how it works every Wednesday.
And
I
folks,
only got –
we've got a major denomination in the United States of America that limits their sermons to their pastors of 15 minutes, period. Go ahead.
Imagine
15
that.
Minutes.
Imagine
and a
being
gentleman
told.
That I know, a gentleman I know very well, his wife's father, who has passed away recently, was a minister all his life in this denomination, and even that man could not understand the logic of it. But it's, again,
yeah,
it's a religion. Religion has taken
yeah.
over biblical Christianity. That's why the nation is in a free fall. A free fall
right.
means that you've got no resistance to gravity. That's what a free fall is.
Right. You know, when we grieve the Holy Spirit, when we say, I am going to put you in a box and I'm going to stick you in there, and I'm not going to let you tell me what I'm going to do. I'm going to run things. I'm going to decide what I'm going to believe out of Scripture. I'm going to decide what I believe about God. I'm going to tell God what to do. Then you might as well just put down your Bible, shove it in a bookshelf and let it collect dust. Give it to somebody else who will appreciate it, whatever. Go read the dictionary. I mean, you could read anything else because this doesn't mean anything to you. If you don't believe that God wrote it and believe that everything from Genesis 1:1 all the way through Revelation 22:21, if you don't believe that every single word is true, then you don't believe in God. I'm sorry. I know that hurts. Or it may, but it's true. If you don't believe that God made the world in 7 days, 7 24-hour days, toss your Bible. I'm sorry, but I'm just going to say it, plain and simple. You must believe this Bible 100%, or the words that you said, yes, Lord, I want to give, however you said it, I want to give my life to you. I believe that you are my Savior. If you said those words, you didn't believe them. Did you really repent? Did you really repent of your life, your secular, worldly life, and say, God, I give all that up I turn from everything that I have lived, and I give my life over to you as you will. As you will. Is that what you did? Because if you didn't, or if you don't now, because you might have changed. Oh, did that hurt? Did that hurt? Because you might have. You can change. I know. You may have a pastor who says, nah, you're once saved, always saved. Baloney. You can turn away from God. You are able
to turn away from God. Read Hebrews 3:12.
Yeah.
There's no point arguing. Read Hebrews 3:12.
Right. Yes, I was going to go to Galatians 5, but yes, Hebrews 3.
Go to both of them.
Yeah. Beware,
but again,
brethren, Hebrews 3:12.
We're putting man's word over God's word, which is the reason we're in the deep hole that we're in.
Yes, exactly. Beware, brethren, lest there be in, and I'm going to read this slowly and carefully so that you can hear it completely. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You can't depart from something you didn't know. You cannot, hear me again, you cannot depart from something you didn't know or somewhere that you weren't at. Now listen, I'm going to go back to, wait a minute. I just want to make sure you understand something. This is him talking to believers, because in the beginning of verse 12, he says, beware, brethren. He's talking to believers. You aren't brethren unless you're a believer. He's talking to brothers.
Amen. I want to emphasize that brethren means believers.
Yes. Let there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. In other words, you start, you have a couple sins here and a couple sins there, and then they begin to harden you because you're like, okay, you know, it was just a couple, and that didn't really hurt me. And a couple more, and that didn't hurt me so much. And so you keep going further and further and further down the path until you have become so hardened that your heart doesn't even pay attention to the Holy Spirit anymore, and you depart
completely. Read verse 13, and that shows you that the little acts of sins you commit don't cause you to leave God, but they harden your heart. Verse 13 explains 12 well.
Yeah, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
The individual acts of sin, it's not like I was raised in a very strict works religion, and one minute you're in, the next minute you're out. No, it hardens your heart, so you no longer hear the Holy Spirit. And when you don't hear the Holy Spirit, you're done. The game's over. The fat lady is sighing, as Yogi Berra said.
Right. And verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence, in other words, our salvation, the day we were saved, if we hold that steadfast to the end.
Which means that it's possible that I could walk away. And yet, folks, there are major denominations that wouldn't even listen to me. They wouldn't even want, I've asked four ministers, can I show you verses? No, from all four of them. Don't want to see them. Don't dare tell me that my group is wrong. Folks, we got to get away from this insanity. This is what the church is exhorted in Second Chronicles to do. Humble yourself. You're not the end of the law. You're not the final authority on this word of God. It is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says these things. You must believe them. Don't believe your church, your denomination, or the worst thing you could do is believe a bunch of goofballs like us. You only believe us as we are pointing you to the Word of God and the context. Because one of the big tricks of denominations and false religions is to take Scripture out of context, and you can do it. I've actually, like a brainless dummy that I've been, I've actually taken part in this nonsense. Don't give them all the Scripture. Don't let them see that you could be wrong. I'm telling you, folks, we're insane. Doesn't the condition of the United States and the threat to our whole way of life bother people enough that they're going to say, I'm drawing a line in the sand. God, what can I do to change? Please help us today. In fact, Raven, when we're done here in about 4 or 5 minutes, I want you to pray, and that's the prayer I want. Holy Spirit, would you please speak to each of us? I'm not saying you go out and burn your church and fire your pastor and quit your denomination. I'm saying, Holy Spirit, I don't know which way is up. I'm flying. I'm landing a plane in a hurricane, and I have all my gyroscope is out. I have no electrical controls. I'm flying this airplane by the seat of my pants, like JFK Jr. tried to land in New York, in Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts, which is the whole southern border of it is the ocean. And he was not flying by instruments. He was flying by the seat of the pants, and he went through a storm. And he didn't know that up was down and down was up.
Yep.
Go to the Holy Spirit in our prayer. Yeah.
Yes. Now, I want to make one last comment here before we go, and that is for those of you who would say, oh, they don't believe once saved, always saved, they're talking a work salvation. No, no, no.
Let me show you
in Galatians 5, 1 and 4.
Yeah, there's where we manipulate the Scripture. The people who want to argue what they're saying, rather than go to the verses, they want to say, then you're saying that God's not big enough to keep you. No, we're not saying that, folks. Get our head out of our armpits and listen to what we're saying.
Galatians 5, 1 and 4. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. Fallen from Christ.
How can you become estranged from Christ if you are not part of him?
Yeah.
See, these are the verses that I've tried to show people, and they flat out told me, I will not read your verses. These are pastors, four of them.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so don't go try to do it by works either, because that'll pull you away from God. No, we're not saying that either. That's not it. You must be 100% in God's grace all the time. You
all
must
right.
be following
well, unfortunately,
him.
Raven, we're down to, well, we've got 5 minutes, but I want you to end. And I want to end about a minute or two earlier so I don't jump into the other program. But I want you to end with a prayer to the Holy Spirit. We're not going to give people what to do. We're going to tell people what we always tell them. Do what James 1:5 says. When you need wisdom, go to God and ask him. So wind up with that prayer, if you would. Not now.
All right,
wait a minute or two.
Continue
with your Galatians.
It's just that you know, people want to go one way or the other. They don't want to go right down the middle where the Holy Spirit wants to meet them. They want to do things their way,
We want man's opinion. We want man so we can say we have an excuse for sin. If you go to the Bible, there's no wiggle room.
There's
no wiggle room. I'm going to New Hampshire and Maine and Massachusetts this weekend, on Wednesday, traveling through there. And on the mountains going in the East Coast, and I saw them going through West Virginia. They've got these escape routes for trucks. There are no escape routes in the Bible. If you only take what the Word of God says, there is no modification. There is no escape route. It's like driving at the Indianapolis Speedway at 230 miles an hour. You spin out, you've got a concrete wall. You don't have, like you do on the interstates, thank goodness they have them. They've got these roads that go up a hill, maybe a tenth of a mile, that are full of sand to slow you down. You sin, and your authority is the Bible. There's no one to take the blame. It's you, yourself. And I, period.
Yep.
That's why we do not want the Bible. We want man's opinion, because then we can change. I can go to another church, another denomination. No, the Bible, there's no escape route. You wreck your car, you're going to hit the concrete wall.
Yep.
Now, Raven, again, will be doing this program next week, and she can go wherever she wants with it. I'm going to be in a place in New Hampshire on Sunday where, believe it or not, my daughter lives, where Verizon, one of the very few areas that Verizon does not reach, even with 5G. And so I'm going to be out of pocket, but she's going to do this. But just before we sign off, we got 3 minutes. Raven, pray that the people seek the Holy Spirit. Don't just quit your church. Don't bomb your church or set fire to the pastor. Go to the Holy Spirit and see whether, first of all, you're in the right place, and if you're not, what he wants you to do.
Amen. Father, we are so thankful for your Holy Spirit, who is the one that can tell us exactly where we should be, who's the one that the only one that tells us what ministry we should be in, who we should marry, where we should live, what job we should have. You are the one, Father, who tells us everything we should be doing every day, who we should pray for. Father, remind us daily to humble ourselves, to seek your face, to pray for our country, and to pray for those around us who need you, to be the light, the salt, the ones who go out and speak about you to everyone that we meet, Lord. Give us the boldness, the love that we are supposed to have, that only comes through you, so that we can spread your word to every single person, so that there literally is no excuse on that final day, so that everyone who must bow their knees and say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, that they will know that there is a reason for them doing that, because you are the creator. You are the one that wrote this book, Lord, and every single person will know
that from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 is all your word, and you are the all-powerful creator. May we go forth this next week that you are the one who gives us the power to speak love to all those around us. In Christ's name, amen.
Excellent job, Raven. Thank you for joining, and I'll be back in 2 weeks, but you'll be doing this next week in my place. Folks, I'll see you in 2 weeks. Have a good beginning of warm weather, which is coming even to the upper Midwest. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Take care.
Amen.